So God's work in our world is to be carried forward. Faithful stewards are to place the Lord's money in His treasury that workers may be sent to all parts of the world. The church here below is to serve God with self-denial and sacrifice. Thus, the work is to be carried forward and the most glorious triumphs won. Love for lost souls brought Christ to Calvary's cross. Love for souls will lead us to self-denial and sacrifice for the saving of that which is lost. And as Christ's followers give back to the Lord His own, they are accumulating treasure which will be theirs when they hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord," who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Matthew 25:21 and Hebrews 12:2. The joy of seeing souls eternally saved will be the reward of all who follow in the steps of the Redeemer. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" It was a costly sacrifice that the Lord of Heaven made. Divine benevolence was stirred to its unfathomable depths. It was impossible for God to give more. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See John 3:16. Why is our gratitude so limited? It is only as a ripple on the surface compared with the great tide of love that flows to us from the Father. The signs that foretell the second coming of Christ are fast fulfilling. Shall the people be left in ignorance of the great event before them and have to meet that awful day unprepared? Heaven has made a complete offering for the salvation of the world. Shall those who profess to love God and keep His commandments be indifferent to the souls of men? No, no, they cannot be. With untiring zeal, those who have received the light of present truth should go forth to give this light to those who sit in darkness. With consecrated efforts, by self-denial and self-sacrifice, they are to labor in the strength of the God of Israel. This message is to be carried to foreign lands. It is to be given to the cities and towns of our own country. The weary and the heavy laden are longing for the message of truth that will give them rest and peace in Christ. Who will carry the message to those who have never heard it? Who will seek the joy and glory of God by drawing sinners to the feet of Him who gave His life a sacrifice for every soul? Who will lift up the Savior before men as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world? See John 1:29.
Section 2. Literature and Service.
Psalm 68:11 says, "The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it."
Chapter 1. Our Publications.
The great and wonderful work of the last gospel message is to be carried on now as it has never been before. The world is to receive the light of truth through an evangelizing ministry of the Word in our books and periodicals. Our publications are to show that the end of all things is at hand. I am bidden to say to our publishing houses, lift up the standard, lift it up higher. Proclaim the third angel's message that it may be heard by all the world. Let it be seen that here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Read in Revelation 14:12. Let our literature give the message as a witness to all the world. Our workers should now be encouraged to give their first attention to books that deal with the evidences of our faith. Books that teach the doctrines of the Bible and that will prepare a people to stand in the trying times before us. Having brought a people to the enlightenment of the truth by prayerful labor and Bible instruction, and through a wise use of our publications, we are to teach them to become laborers in word and doctrine. We are to encourage them to scatter the books that deal with Bible subjects. books, the teachings of which will prepare a people to stand, having their loins girded with the truth and their lamps burning. We have been asleep, as it were, regarding the work that may be accomplished by the circulation of well-prepared literature. Let us now, by the wise use of periodicals and books, preach the word with determined energy, that the world may understand the message that Christ gave to John on the Isle of Patmos. Let every human intelligence who professes the name of Christ testify, "The end of all things is at hand. Prepare to meet thy God." Our publications should go everywhere. Let them be issued in many languages. The third angel's message is to be given through this medium and through the living teacher. You who believe the truth for this time, wake up. It is your duty now to bring in all the means possible to help those who understand the truth to proclaim it. Part of the money that comes in from the sale of our publications should be used to increase our facilities for the production of more literature that will open blind eyes and break up the fallow ground of the heart. There is danger of entering into commercialism and becoming so engrossed in worldly business that the truths of the Word of God in their purity and power will not be brought into the life. The love of trade and gain is becoming more and more prevalent. My brethren, let your souls be truly converted. If ever there was a time when we needed to understand our responsibilities, it is now, when truth is fallen in the streets and equity cannot enter. Satan has come down with great power to work with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and those things that cannot be shaken will remain. The Lord is coming very soon, and we are entering into scenes of calamity. Satanic agencies, though unseen, are working to destroy human life. But if our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall see of His grace and salvation. Christ is coming to establish His kingdom on the earth. Let our tongues be sanctified and used to glorify Him. Let us work now as we have never worked before. We are exhorted to be instant in season, out of season. See 2 Timothy 4:2. We are to make openings for the presentation of the truth. We are to improve every opportunity of drawing souls to Christ. As a people, we are to be reconverted, our lives sanctified to declare the truth as it is in Jesus. In the work of scattering our publications, we can speak of a Savior's love from a warm and throbbing heart. God alone has the power to forgive sins. If we do not speak this message to the unconverted, our neglect may prove their ruin. Blessed soul-saving Bible truths are published in our papers. There are many who can help in the work of selling our periodicals. The Lord calls upon all of us to seek to save perishing souls. Satan is at work to deceive the very elect, and now is our time to work with vigilance. Our books and papers are to be brought before the notice of the people. The gospel of present truth is to be given to our cities without delay. Shall we not arouse to our duties? If we are making the life and teachings of Christ our study, every passing event will furnish a text for an impressive discourse. It was thus the Savior preached the gospel in the highways and byways. And as He spoke, the little group that listened to Him swelled to a great company. Present-day evangelists are to be workers together with Christ. These, just as verily as the first disciples, have the assurance, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Read Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. The work to be carried on by the people of God is declared in the words of inspiration, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Read Mark 1, verses 2 and 3. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. See Isaiah 42:1-4. God invites all men to the fullest investigation of the claims of his law. His word is sacred and infinite. The cause of truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. Earnest study of the word of God will reveal the truth. Sin and wrong will not be sustained, but the law of God will be vindicated. Thus saith Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Verses 5-7. Christians are to seek their light from the word of God, and then in faith go forth to give that light to those who sit in darkness.
Chapter 2. Circulate the Publications.
In the night of March 2, 1907, many things were revealed to me regarding the value of our publications on present truth and the small effort that is being made by our brethren and sisters in the churches for their wide circulation. I have been repeatedly shown that our presses should now be constantly employed in publishing light and truth. This is a time of spiritual darkness in the churches of the world. Ignorance of divine things has hidden God and the truth from view. The forces of evil are gathering in strength. Satan flatters his co-workers that he will do a work that will captivate the world. While partial inactivity has come upon the church, Satan and his hosts are intensely active. The professed Christian churches are not converting the world, for they are themselves corrupted with selfishness and pride, and need to feel the converting power of God in their midst before they can lead others to a purer or higher standard.
Chapter 3. An Encouraging Experience.
The afternoon of March 2, I spent in council with Brother and Sister S. N. Haskell, discussing the work in Oakland and their plans to go east to spend some time in South Lancaster. After our visit, I was weary and retired early. I was suffering with rheumatism in my left side and could get no rest because of the pain. I turned from side to side, trying to find ease from the suffering. There was a pain in my heart that portended no good for me. At last, I fell asleep. About 9:30, I attempted to turn myself, and as I did so, I became aware that my body was entirely free from pain. As I turned from side to side and moved my hands, I experienced an extraordinary freedom and lightness that I cannot describe. The room was filled with light, a most beautiful, soft azure light, and I seemed to be in the arms of heavenly beings. This peculiar light I have experienced in the past in times of special blessing, but this time it was more distinct, more impressive, and I felt such peace. Peace so full and abundant no words can describe it. I raised myself into a sitting position, and I saw that I was surrounded by a bright cloud, white as snow, the edges of which were tinged with a deep pink. The softest, sweetest music was filling the air, and I recognized the music as the singing of the angels. Then a voice spoke to me, saying, "Fear not, I am your Savior. holy angels are all about you." "Then this is heaven," I said, "and now I can be at rest. I shall have no more messages to bear, no more misrepresentations to endure. Everything will be easy now, and I shall enjoy peace and rest. Oh, what inexpressible peace fills my soul! Is this indeed heaven? Am I one of God's little children? And shall I always have this peace?" The voice replied, "Your work is not yet done." Again I fell asleep, and when I awoke, I heard music, and I wanted to sing. Then someone passed my door, and I wondered if that person saw the light. After a time, the light passed away, but the peace remained. After a while, I fell asleep again. This time, I seemed to be in a council meeting where our book work was being discussed. There were a number of our brethren present, leaders in our work, and Elder Haskell and his wife were there consulting together with the brethren about the circulation of our books, tracts, and periodicals. Elder Haskell was presenting strong reasons why the books which contain the knowledge that has been communicated to Sister White, the books containing the special message to come to the world at this present time, should be more freely circulated. "Why," he inquired, "do not our people appreciate and circulate more widely the books bearing the divine credentials? Why is not a specialty made of the books containing the warnings regarding Satan's work? Why do we not give greater effort to circulating the books that point out Satan's plans to counterwork the work of God, that uncover his plans and point out his deceptions? The moral evils of his deceptions are to be removed by opening the eyes of the people, so that they shall discern the situation and the dangers of our times, so that they shall make diligent effort to lay hold by faith upon Christ and his righteousness." A messenger from heaven stood in our midst, and he spoke words of warning and instruction. He made us clearly understand that the gospel of the kingdom is the message for which the world is perishing, and that this message, as contained in our publications already in print and those yet to be issued, should be circulated among the people who are nigh and afar off.
Chapter 4. Dangers in Speculative Study.
The light of truth which God designs shall come to the people of the world at this time is not that which the world's men of learning are seeking to impart. For these men and their research often arrive at erroneous conclusions, and in their study of many authors become enthused with theories that are of satanic origin. Satan, clothed in the garb of an angel of light, presents for the study of the human mind subjects which seem very interesting and which are full of scientific mystery. In the investigation of these subjects, men are led to accept erroneous conclusions and to unite with seducing spirits in the work of propounding new theories which lead away from the truth. There is danger that the false sentiments expressed in the books that they have been reading will sometimes be interwoven by our ministers, teachers, and editors with their arguments, discourses, and publications, under the belief that they are the same in principle as the teachings of the Spirit of Truth. The book Living Temple is an illustration of this work, the writer of which declared in its full support that its teachings were the same as those found in the writings of Mrs. White. Again and again we shall be called to meet the influence of men who are studying sciences of satanic origin, through which Satan is working to make a non-entity of God and of Christ. The Father and the Son each have a personality. Christ declared, "I and my Father are one." Yet it was the Son of God who came to this world in human form. Laying aside his royal robe and kingly crown, he clothed his divinity with humanity, that humanity through his infinite sacrifice might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Christ was tempted in all points as man is tempted. But at no time did he bring against the tempter a railing accusation. To every temptation he presented the word of the Lord. "It is written," was his never-failing weapon. We, as the representatives of Christ, are to meet every thrust of the enemy with the word of the living God. Never should we allow ourselves to follow the trail of the serpent by using his scientific arguments. Satan can never gain advantage of the child of God who relies on the word of God as his defense. Our counselor impressed deeply on our minds that God's commandment-keeping people must be sanctified through the truth, and that truth must ever be given the foremost place. We must not forget that Satan still lives to exercise his deceptive power through false science. Christ was the majesty of heaven, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life. Yet he humbled himself as a man and became obedient to every law of God. He passed over the ground that every man must tread who takes his name, and came forth from his trial pure and untainted by sin. He was our example in all things. The first advent of Christ and his life of ministry are not studied as they should be. His life was one of self-denial, in which truth in all its noble qualities was expressed. He lived to bless humanity by every good word and work.